tell me why we restore or hide all of the goodness that the Lord provides. Taste the fruit that stems from his grace and truth that's ever divine. Man looks but never combined. The truth could be told. We reflect the fruit because he rose. Start with life, plus pay for my sins in the darkest night. No good comes apart from Christ. Now don't wait to conform. Be different and deviate from the norms. It seems tough when deeds could mean nothing. At best you'll find kind acts that connect to the vine. Open the seed and hopefully soon you will see that we stay planted at the root of the tree. See, it seems time of believing that it's an honor to master wood, handcrafted for good. Bear fruit.
You show us your goodness. We're sharing your goodness. Now we know.
To the head to begin, through his body and blood that was shed for sin, crucified, and we should respect all that he did for the good of the elect. Gotta believe, dig deep out of his knees, he do a lens as we do what's pleasing to him. Open the eyes of the hearts of man to see God. We expect nothing but offer a free ride. Give it a go, and at least we'll try. Patience, conduct should reflect his reputation. Taste the sweet, give us grace and defeat. It's goodness through tribulation and peace. Pride and a fool abides by the block rules. Good that plot gain is just not the same. Lies are found, but truth is not lost. We stress the good that is rooted in the cross.
You've shown us your goodness. We're sharing your goodness. Now we know.
The sun after the fall, the best act of all, you would suppose. Do good because he rose, time will tell. He's alive and doing well. Good thing we put the truth in the air. It's right for the life that has fruit to bear. Take heed and don't miss it. Please, just listen. It was good, there's a need for our redemption. Grace from the power above. We do kind acts that are showered in love. Bear fruit, all or nothing is the way to trust. The goodness of the Lord that is displayed through us. Tools in the master's hand. It's not hard to understand if we're part of his plan. Cause of the rock's fall, we got up from the fall. Do you good, get the credit for everything good.
You shown us your goodness. We're sharing your goodness. Now we know.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another blessed, exciting training day. This is a day the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Thanking God for the blessed weather. Amen. Being in the midst of a whole lot of praying saints. Hallelujah. We're not getting feet of snow like they are in Northern California, and I thank God for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Giving honor to the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. The blessed Holy Spirit and his marvelous son, Jesus. Amen. Pastor O, my producer, Pastor Gerald Overall, to those of you that don't know who he is. Amen. Pastor Running for Christ Ministries, located in Ecorse, Michigan. Amen. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by on a Sunday or a Wednesday. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you right now. You know, this has been great. It's been challenging lately. Last few weeks, we've been having different challenges. But it's not just here. It's part of the spiritual warfare that's going on. Amen. So don't be surprised if you're being attacked by the devil, because he has nobody to attack but the saints of the Most High God. A lot of people are just religious. They are no threat to him. And that's what our subject is still, and we're going to conclude today, I believe, about the Holy Spirit in man. Amen. Let's go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you. Hallelujah. For this marvelous opportunity to come before you and to come before your throne. We thank you that it came with an awful high price, amen, with the blood of your own first son, Jesus. And we thank you, Jesus, for being obedient and submissive unto the cross to purchase our salvation. Father, you sent back the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us and to comfort us in our challenging times in the growth of our spirit. Father God, right now we ask that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding even more, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you already have in us, your saints, and the great and exceeding power you've made available to those who will submit and obey you. Father God, we ask that you continue to bless us with the knowledge of your will and giving us the strength and courage to carry out your will so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. We ask that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, right now I ask that you bless tongues to be that of a ready writer to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I think about this, it's tremendous. You know, today I did a little research, and it was quite lengthy. I posted it on Facebook, and I wanted to know mathematically what would the impact be of a bowling ball if it struck the earth at 186,000 miles per second, which is the speed of light. And my reasoning for that is to kind of give association to what I'll be talking about in relation to the fact that you, outside of your body, possess more power than all the nuclear arsenals together on the entire planet. Contemplate that. Now, there are billions of believers that have gone on. And even those that came from Adam to now, there's been billions of them. Now, one of them could destroy this entire planet. I know that seems incredible, but you have to really look at what we really are. And that's what this, I hope, and I hope that's what you pursued it to gain, hope to gain from this. That's my objective. It's not just to give you some conversation, but for you to understand why God did things the way that he did. How come he didn't give Adam the Ten Commandments day one? How come he went through this process and waited 4,000 years before he sent Jesus? And how come he did not give them the Holy Spirit in every believer? And why he did do things, and the point is because of our nature. You know, I remember when my pastor introduced a phrase, and I watched him as he watched us when he said, "Man is a God class being." Now I knew right away he was talking small g. Okay, I mean I've been sitting on it for over 30 years, so I get some things where he speaks to the words, and when he says something, most pastors, when they say something, then they usually have every scripture in the Bible to back it up. But it led me, as he has taught us, to take it even further. And that resulted in some of the things that I have in my book, because that when you look at that, that is what this life is about. We have to learn our nature, because if you remember, I say that man is tonition. God is omniscient. Man is conipotent. God is omnipotent, meaning he has all power. Man is conipresent, meaning I'm all right here, right now, and my reach is go as far as the radio, but my person and my comprehension of what's in the immediate environment is limited to my soulless realm where God is, I'm not present, that if you were on Mars, he would have full recognition, cognizance of every thought and your actions on Mars, which is millions of miles away. There's no place in the universe that you can go. There's, if you could travel time, go backwards or forwards, you could not get away from the presence of God. But with me, that would be different. And understand that God built us in a specific manner, because I said something and I expected to get pushed back with new information when I said that if God had not built the soulless realm for Adam, he would have released another God in the universe, and that wasn't going to happen. And you really have to sit down and counsel with God. When, you know, when somebody says something, as I said earlier, when my pastor introduced a new thought, he expects us to go to God about it. Again, like I said, he's going to give you all the scripture possible, but the point is not to excite you or entertain you, but to educate you about your nature. He has a book out in which he points out there are more than 19 definitions of grace. I mean, think about that. We generally know one. Most people know unmerited favor, but there's different grace. And that grace is not grace, it's a person, a spirit of grace, which we've talked about. So my goal here is that, because we're about to go to the next level. And this is that point that I'm trying to make, is that we're going to the 100% level. That's where all the saints are, okay? And they, when they leave here, and even the unsanctified, if you look in Luke chapter 16, you'll find that everybody has 100% use of their mind. So if you don't follow Christ, receive Christ, and you wind up in hell, you will have to feel pain at a greater level than you do now, because your mind will be at 100%. The conversation in Luke chapter 16 is between two dead men that have a 500-year gap, but yet they're communicating with each other, and we don't even know how far the distance is. Really, because there's a chasm, and we don't know the depths and the measurements of that. The Bible doesn't give us all that. For all I know, it could be about 1,000 miles. See, this is why I say in the next life, I would be able to communicate with you just like I do with a cell phone, but I won't need one. God is offering us tremendous power, and this is why, see, he invited us to life. And you find people don't appreciate that when you run across them people they call atheists. You know, I was recently watching some of the older rapture movies that they came out in the 70s and the 80s with. And the character, what I noticed about them, one is it focuses on Christians that got left behind. And one of the characters in there, I noticed that they could not get their mind away from the fact that God should be doing things on their terms, you know. And you hear that from people when you hear, why God let this happen. No, God, see, it's not his fault you didn't read the Bible. It's not his, because if you don't read the Bible, you can't even go to God and say your pastor didn't tell you, because I noticed in the conversation, her pastor got left behind. And he had become one of these preachers I see right now that trying to water down and make the gospel acceptable to people. And listen, that ain't helping them. That ain't helping them at all. He even said he was doing it for the money. And that's where you find a lot of people. But he told her, she tried to blame him, and he said, you had an obligation to pick up the word and read it. And I really was astonished by that was in there, because my mind is clearer now. I can see that. Mind you, like I say, that was made in the early 80s or late 70s. Anyway, you know, I think it's called A Distant Thunder. It's on YouTube right now. But that's what's going on with people, because I do YouTube two, three times a week, and I talk to people, and I find these mental characteristics in people today. People think they're good. You know what? God good and your good ain't the same good, okay? You know, he doesn't allow hate where we would allow hate. okay? And he has a different level of what he called hate. Some things we don't think is hateful that we justify, he clearly said that's hate. It's a love of hate. Challenge that we face. But anyway, let's read some scripture here. Let's go back to see how we conclude, and let's read our base scripture, which is found in Acts chapter 1. And it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Detroit, River Rouge, Arizona, wherever you live at. Okay? That's what God expects for us to do. Now, it's incumbent upon us to learn how to operate in the spiritual realm, and I'm not talking about being some spiritual nut walking around condemning people, spitting out a whole lot of scripture, because if all you know is condemnation, you're missing the point, because Jesus could have did that very easily. He's the only perfect person in flesh to walk on this planet. And our other scriptures found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, okay, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, I have a series on Christ because I thank God for how he had blessed me with the revelation, because it was interesting, because I had not given all that consideration before. And again, I handle pushback, but my thing is, when you come to me, I'm going to tell you counsel with God. Recently, I had a situation, and I asked them, did they ask God about it? You see, because I don't expect you. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 7, in all your ways acknowledge him. Now, it say acknowledge Richard. It say acknowledge God. And he shall direct your path. You're not going to be judged by me. I don't have the keys to heaven or hell. Okay? You need to make sure somebody says something. I don't care what their title is. Check it out. According to the word. That's why I am where I am. I mean, I wasn't looking for hype. I was looking for revelation knowledge. I've always wanted to know why. God, why you let the world be like this? I recently listened to some people struggle with that issue. Why God let the devil exist? Okay, ask him. He makes sense of it. And I'm going to give you the simple version of that, and that is that Satan do things that God can't do. God can't lie. It's not possible for him to lie. If he said, I got on a hat right now and it's red, if he says blue, it's blue. You know, it never becomes, it doesn't matter. So even when God told Adam, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die, Adam had no reference point. He never known anyone to die. He was the first man. So it wasn't until Cain killed Abel that he basically understand what death was. Okay? Now, and so when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about God and man. I mean, contemplate that. That's why I was talking about the bowling ball hitting the earth, which would have almost the impact of a meteor, okay? It would be quite devastating. It wouldn't destroy life as we know it, but you know it happened. And God is going to give each and every believer greater power than that. I'm telling you, that's what it's about. And the parameters that he expects us to abide by, the law he expects us to abide by, is agape love. And that's simple. That's what this life is about. And so we go through all these myriads of challenges with people, okay, because we're going to be dealing with people. Okay, trees are unigenerally. You ain't never had an argument with a tree. No normal person. I put it like that. I've seen people argue with walls and stuff, so, okay. You be seeing things, but I some things about that too, okay? But the point of the matter is that that's what all this is about. I mean, think about this. Who we dealing with? We're dealing with an omniscient God. He knows all things. He could have made this heaven on earth. When Satan rebelled, okay, he could have ended that. He didn't even have to use Mike. He could have fought Satan away. Just think, boom, done. But when Jesus come back, the Armageddon, There's not gonna be no battle back and forth. There ain't gonna be no. He just goes. It says with the breath of his mouth, boom. Everybody that opposed him gonna be gone. Just that simple. So now, but again, and I know it, because I've listened to debates over the years of people saying about of what we will and will not be able to do. And whenever you enter one, check it out. Ask them, did they ask God about it? You're going to be surprised. You're not, I mean, even if they lie, you'll see it in their face. You'll hear it in their voice. They may even change it. Because I'm telling you, people don't talk to God about things. But he said in all your ways, acknowledge him. And in James 1:5, he said, any man lack wisdom, which is a proper understanding of particularly his word, he said, let him ask of God. That's how I find things out. I ask God about it. All right? And again, like I said, there's a purpose behind that. You know, I recently, I don't even like using this term. I had another one of them colonoscopy things. I know it's a TMI moment. But again, my reasoning for bringing that out is that I have a series on 7 causes of prayer failure, and if you have my book, it's on page 217. And that right there is a give you a parameter for success. And as it turns out, I knew it. You know, I wasn't threatened by it. I had nothing. They didn't find nothing. Okay. And because in March 2017, they did find cancer. But see, I also understand that cancer is a person. Okay. He didn't go to medical school, but he know more about my body than I do, because he know what part of the body to attack, that if possible, he would kill me, him and his army. See, Satan has figured out some things. I'm telling you, if you ask God, but if you just think it's bold, you find you ask Facebook, then he'll just let you sit there and spend hours on Facebook. I spend hours with God, because he's the most fascinating person in the universe. All right. So now we get to the last portion today. It's about, remember I said an acronym for holy is humble, obedient, loving, and yielding. You know, and because those things right there is easy when there's no opposition. And that's what Satan and his gang's purpose is. You know, God let him exist. Now, he's in trouble and his gang is in trouble because they didn't wait on God to give them that assignment, okay? If God had given them that assignment, because we need to be, as this program is called, trained. It's obvious. We got billionaires that are letting people starve. And I seriously believe now that you have a hard time as a billionaire passing God's judgment. Back in the 70s when everybody was making a living wage, even a stock boy at Kroger made a living wage, then, you know, that was a different situation. But now it's just too much permeated greed, and it's amazing, or proliferated, or whatever that word is. Anyway, it's too much of it now. Too many people are underemployed, and now you got people unemployed, and, you know, you got homeless, and you got people that really can't help themselves. Somebody's responsible for them, okay? But anyway, so, and money, sex, and power tell God what you're going to do at 100%. See, so if they that greedy with 20% of their mind, what would they be at 100%? God is not going to allow that. And you don't have to believe that these are the last or the end of days, but it is. And things about to shake up some more here in 2024, and I didn't intend to make that rhyme. All right. So we're talking about yielding. Now, I had a dictionary definition of yielding, and it is it's got shield yielding? No, I'm talking about ego. It didn't give it. It's surrendering, giving in, following through, okay, allowing. Now, and generally what prevents people from yielding is their ego. Now, ego is not a bad thing when it's in the control. And part of what drives us, it helps us to, it gives us a focus of identity. Again, Jesus was a classic example, and while I'm talking, go to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36, And we're going to read some, one of the most, greatest points of yielding. And you see it throughout. Because, again, this really comes into play like when you're in marriage or in relationships or those times when we talk about when you need to keep your mouth shut. You yield to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, the key to success in that is with your ego is letting God be the parameter or the person to whom you allow to set your self-esteem level at. That's the best way I can say that. In other words, if God is good with it, then I'm good with it. And I say that particularly because when you're in a marriage, and particularly these days where women are out 1,000 years, where most of them were stay-at-home moms, and actually pre-industrial area, it wasn't like they didn't work, because when their farmers worked, while they were out in the field farming, mom was at home preparing the food, because they didn't have a bunch of restaurants that you drive to and get stuff done. And if she didn't cook, they didn't eat. It was an equal work thing. I remember the first time I had to babysit. It gave me a revelation of what it was like to be a mother. It takes something. That you see the application of the fruit of the Spirit. That's why churches are probably so full of women. They understand God better than men do right off the bat. All right? And like I say, the dictionary definition of ego is a person's sense of self-esteem or importance. Now, I'm important to God, and I don't care if I'm not important to anybody else. And that's all that matters to me. if I'm not, because one thing you'll find with people, they'll love you today and hate you in the next hour, you know, especially if they want something from you. You can't put your confidence in that. You can only put your confidence in God. And I realize I've been here 70, going on 73 years in a couple of months, and I realize that I've learned from experience. Love, you know, God's definition of love is in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Maybe we get through there today. All right. So this is Jesus. Now he's coming down to the point where he got to pay the cost for us. And he's about to go to the cross. But reading in Matthew 26:36, it says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will, as you intend. That's God's will. His word is his will. This is, and when you compare that, is when they came to arrest Jesus, which is later on. There's a conversation. Matter of fact, that's down there in verse 53, I believe. All right, yeah, let's read that. It says, now this is after they done showed up, the soldiers done showed up. It was a band of about 600. Now understand, one angel took out 186,000 top line soldiers. One. Okay, now listen to this conversation. So here we is. They done just showed up with an army of 600 to arrest Jesus. It said, but Jesus, in verse 52, it said, but Jesus said unto them, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. But do you think that I cannot pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scripture be fulfilled that it must happen thus? All right. How could it be that it be fulfilled? It's talking about the simple fact that he had to go and die for our sins. because we couldn't do it. You had to be a perfect sacrifice, and you need to understand the whole system. Now, I don't want to deviate into what went on there. If you want more about that, ask God about verse 53, because it does deal with where I get the teaching or belief that I order angels by numbers. And that's because God has changed the dynamics, and I'm hearing more about that now. What I mean by dynamics, things that God allowed in the past, he's not allowing now, or things the way he did things in the past, he's not doing that now because he expects us to do more. And the fact that you don't know what needs to be done, that's on you. And you'll suffer to deal with the consequences of it. The case in point, an ugly situation, the Uvalde, if you're familiar with that. That was simply a case of the parents not knowing that God had put us in a place where we now must command angels. Now, to be able to command angels, you're going to have to be in right standing with God. And that's what the Lord, Holy Spirit, gave me those seven criteria. That affects the promises, too. But that's another whole issue. But again, right here, if you look at this, Jesus had an option. And that's what it is about yielding. See, holy is doing what God say do, how he say do, when he say do it. Okay, that's why I get up with criteria number seven, and that is being in pursuit of the will of God. And that requires us to have knowledge of the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us the expected response that God wants us to present, because it tells him where he ranks in our minds and in our lives. When I act like he want me to act, even though my feelings might get hurt, that take a lot. or I may encounter a situation like I have in the past where somebody say something real ugly. I can say something ugly back. But now, what does God expect? You know, years ago, they used to have these bands, rubber band, wristband bands that people was wearing, and T-shirts and hats, had WWJD, and that was what would Jesus do? But most people didn't know what Jesus would do. This is what Jesus would do. He's saying, I could have commanded angels and wiped them out. Listen, if one angel took out 185,000, okay, he didn't need a legion to take out 600. Actually, he was talking about fighting Satan's in his army. If you watch Passion of the Christ, you'll see that if you're paying attention. But anyway, all right. See, again, having power and then using it as God's will. See, and that's the whole thing. See, we're learning this process because we have power. Right now, I've been hearing more about what is called, I call it a prayer of implication, and I've heard this man of God regularly using the term imprecatory prayer, I-M-P-I-E-C-A-T-O-R-Y, and that's really pronouncing judgment, as you see in 1 Kings 17, 1, and 2 Kings 6, 7. 6:17, I believe, but you got Elijah, cut off the rain for Israel for their disobedience. Elisha blinded the Syrian army. In Mark 11, Jesus cursed a fig tree. And Acts, I believe, 13, Paul blinded a corrupt sorcerer. I mean, how can it be anything else if you're a sorcerer? But anyway. The point of the matter is, at this particular time right now, God has released more authority in the earth for believers, and it's not going to be as it was during, even as it was during the beginning. And the reason that God did not present that information in the beginning when they were throwing Christians to the lions is because he wanted to establish the principle of what Jesus said in Matthew 22:37-39, the goal of life is to learn to love God and to love your neighbor. And seeing that's something that needs to be imminent in our minds. You know, again, I'm seeing all these critical preachers criticizing other preachers, and they all they are doing is announcing Satan's over other preachers. Okay, so they corrupt. But God created what is called the royal priesthood. You know, at the end of every message, I always say that prayer is God trusting us with his power. Think about that. Prayer works by faith, faith works by love. We need to be singularly focused against Satan, period. The fact that they missing it is that they miss it because in the past we talked about in Zechariah chapter 3, it says Zechariah the high priest stood before the Lord and Satan at his right side ready to resist. How have we been equipped to counter that? Galatians 6:1, if a brother is taken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. How? If I don't know him personally, I can't pray for him because I have to attack the spirits that are attacking them. That's because it's not only that, when Satan goes after a leader, he's going after all that's following him too. So I can't single out that. I've always known pastors that have been off key. There hasn't been a time in history that hasn't been. There are some committed to being false prophets. They're under delusion. But some at some point in time, when enough saints pray for them, they get delivered. And they'll tell you about it. I saw recently a video of a deceased pastor that had repented of his misperception. But that came about from prayer. Why? Because somebody had enough compassion to release the love of God, to release God into the situation. That's the whole point. God is love. He gets into the problem, into the situation when we pray in love. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. Okay, God is love. That's what this life is about. That's why it comes to what will Jesus do? Yield. That's what it's about, because that's telling God what we're going to do in the next generation, in the next life, during the millennium. Remember, you're going to have two groups of people, Gen 2s and Gen 3s. And if you're struggling with that now, for whatever reason, you don't like the color of their skin, which God made. You're going to have to explain that to him. You don't like their height. You don't like their stature, whatever it is. You better get with that and get over that, because God ain't looking at them. He only going to judge them by them. You're not going to be able to stand before God and say, well, I would have because they. He ain't hearing that. How you going to tell God? Now, again, I told you, the Holy Spirit is God. So you can't say there's a greater force when he didn't declare it in John 4:4, greater is he that is in me than he Satan that is in the world. What am I going to do? How are you going to know this power and how to use this power without this opposition? See, that's why you have all these crazy ideas and theologies out there. They did not consult with God as to what is your purpose and plan. Simple question. What is your purpose and plan? What am I supposed to be learning here? Instead, they saw other situations, most cases, money. That's what's behind. Usually what's behind corruption is money. But even at that, okay, judgment is handled by God. I mean, at the end of the day, when they drop off the planet, you're going up or down. And that I don't get to decide that. I only get to decide that with one person. That's me. And Jesus made it plain. As a matter of fact, let's read how he expects us to handle it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's read this. It says, judge not. And the word in the Greek is, matter of fact, let me get my Greek Bible out. I want you to get this. Well, it doesn't matter. The word is basically talking here. He is specifically talking about criticism. He is really particularly talking about criticism. Okay. And the word is krino. Okay. In that particular aspect, it means to disproperly distinguish, that is, decide, to condemn, to punish, to avenge, to conclude. Because look at how he laid this out. And let me go back to this New King James. It said, judge ye not that you judge you not, then you be not judged. The judgment or criteria you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So you're setting yourself up. It's reap what you sow. So, you know, if I don't like somebody, God will not like me. Because he want me to rescue his kingdom. He sent his son to start the work, and he gave us the responsibility to finish it. Okay? That's our job. Because, you got to look at what this is about. Again, he's telling you, he's showing us he's going to give us tremendous power, but he's not going to give it to people that don't know how to operate in love. Because otherwise, he don't want to be killing people throughout eternity. Or just, banning people to hell throughout eternity. Man, that just makes your day bad, All right? So, and the whole point, that's what Jesus came. Somebody earlier today on Facebook said they'd rather be in a church with a bunch of messed up people than be in a church with a bunch of super religious folk, that's hard-hearted. And then somebody said they don't want to be in a church with messed up people. And I had to respond to that. I'm like, well, where you going? Or they say God won't be in no mess. Well, did God leave Earth? Because in my Bible, I ain't seen nothing like but mess. This mess going on, there has never been why. He did all this because of the mess. Because, see, we have to understand, again, the level of intellect that we have. And it's not, if it was that easy to manage, we wouldn't have all this drama and chaos. God knew that. He knew that because, again, because we have a basic independent nature, we try to be independent of God and our thoughts and our actions. That's why I go back to that young lady in that movie. She just wanted God. Why God? Why God? No, he said in his word, this ain't the permanent place. This is training ground. He going to eventually replace the whole thing. We get 1,000 years. I mean, he's giving us a deal. The whole point is, listen at this. This is the simplicity of it. Appreciate the fact that God even brought you into being because you could not get here on your own. Every time I run into an atheist, it amazes me that that escapes them, that reality. They could not be here on their own. They couldn't get here on their own. And they don't know when they're leaving. That's the level of, God called that a spiritual abyss. He said they step off into it. They're not born that way. They decide to become that way. All right? Because, again, if it wasn't so tremendous, if the power level wasn't off, I don't think God would have went through 6,000 years trying to make a point. He's omniscient. He could have made the point from day one. He could have, man, you go back and you look at some of the incidents that happened in the Old Testament. You'll find that God used to be, I didn't know no better, and I would tell God, I'm like, you really should have just killed some of these folks. Let's go to Numbers chapter 16. I want you to kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. God, I want to tell you, you done got soft in your young age. but see, after reading the word, again, you see this rebellion. This is Moses. They're in the wilderness. We're in Numbers chapter 16. I'm going to start at verse 28. Now, then they come out of Egypt. God then brought them out of Egypt. And because, when you spend time anywhere, you're going to be affected by the culture, okay? And now they came out of Egypt, and on their mind is, when we going to get to spend this gold, when we going to get where we going, and, you know how humans are. That's how we are. I got some challenges right now that I would like resolved. But fortunately, having read this, the word, I know not to complain. You know what I'm like, okay, God will do it when he do it. Okay, he set the schedule before I was born. So they're here, they're out in the wilderness, and again, this is what happens when you don't consult God. These are leaders now. And the main one here is Korah and Dathan and Abiram. And it says, and Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, and if they visited, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens up and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand that these men have rejected the Lord. Now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men with Korah, with all their goods, so they and all those with them went down alive into the pit. The earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Now, and I see people now. This is why I used to caution people about speaking against men of God. If God don't tell me to say nothing, I'll just let it happen. I'm telling you, I call the book of Numbers the book of pastors. You need to read the book of Numbers and see what happens when you open your mouth against a pastor. Period. I don't care. There's one guy in there, and later on, Balaam of Peor, he's a crook in his two left shoes. He's so crooked, he even tried to scam God. You listen to his conversation with God. That God don't know everything. And God respected his office. That was major. I'm like, wow. This guy, he was going to kill him. he said the angels go cut him up in pieces. But he let him live. See, because as long as he's alive, he can be redeemed. See, again, this is, so we have all these examples in the Bible. This is why you need to know the word of God. You need to know what would Jesus do. Okay, and this is critical. And again, you have to put your emotions in check. That's what yielding is. That's being holy. That's being humble. That's when you decide God is more important. His word, his objective is more important than you, and you will obey it because you know you can't obey his word if you don't know his word. This is why it's incumbent. Read the whole New Testament at least once. Just read it. Don't you know? In these days. You know, you can put your earphones on and download a talking Bible. You know what excuse you got for not reading it? You get when they just talk to you, and you can read faster most. That counts because your brain your ears will suck in a whole lot of information. Believe me, okay? Believe me, it really would. That works. That helps, and that counts with God. That counts with God. Trust me, that's reading his word. Hearing his word is reading his word. All right. But look at this situation. God could do that now. That, you know, in Acts chapter 5, these two people lied to the Holy Ghost, to Peter, and they dropped dead. Imagine people dropping dead now talking to the pastor. And that's New Testament. But again, this is what yielding is. And that comes from you got to slow down and learn to hear the Holy Spirit in whatever manner he chooses to speak to you. That's another issue. Sometimes when he speaks in what I call an epiphany voice, and it's like sounding like I'm talking to you now, that you look around and see if a person is standing there. A lot of times he just give you a press in the spirit. And you could tell your inner man can communicate and understand that whether he's saying no, because Colossians 3:15, that's what it's talking about. Let the peace of God rule in a decision-making situation, okay? And that's critical, particularly now, okay? I mean, I wanted to go and make some purchases, and I could it's like a wall was up. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. One, it could be because God got a better deal for you, or it's just not the time, or he's going to give you whatever it is going to be for your benefit. And you have to just learn to be sensitive to that. It's not his responsibility. We learn it. Remember, we cognition. We are learning. He knows. We learn to be submissive to him. And this is where you find people have been misled, thinking that God's supposed to be submissive to him like he's some genie that grant wishes. And every time I find people that walked away from God, that's usually the situation. Okay? And, you know, and I have to fight laughing because they that, you know, I never, the fact that it didn't happen right off the bat, I have to kind of, okay, God, you know, genie just going to answer my prayer. And it took us some time to get the revelation, because God couldn't get pastors that would listen to him. It's still that way today. There's such a limitation in the body of Christ on what they can do. They don't even believe they can do it. California getting beat up with snow and rain because they have not been taught how to defend themselves against the prince of the power of the air. And or they didn't listen, or they did, they're not walking in holiness. They're not walking in holiness. They're not walking in a commitment to God. That, see, again, Jesus paid for my home in heaven, which is sitting in the middle of some water, okay? But the point is, so I'm not working to get to heaven. Even though I do have to act right, live right, but that isn't the primary of them, because Paul wrote down in 1 Corinthians that some don't make it. Basically, I would say, they say by the skin of their teeth or the seat of their pants, they won't have nothing to present to God. And that, while we're on that issue, you can't tell me God ain't, well, I ain't going to say, God won't quit. He won't keep asking you to pray, because the body of Christ is the only intercessory group on the planet. And if you're in the church, and don't run up and leave your church right away without consulting God, but pray for your pastor. He gave us a list, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. He said, pray for those in authority, both spiritual and secular. You know, people give too much credence to who's going to get elected. Well, no, listen, the power is in the prayer. These people barely understand what they're dealing with, and they have no idea who they're dealing with. Satan has got them so caught up in them dollar signs that they'll sell their soul if it was possible, and it's not possible, for a dollar, for $1 billion. And believe me, your soul costs the life of Jesus. Listen, all the money that has ever been made since Cain created it, if you had all of it piled together right now, it could not purchase your soul. So don't believe that lie. They sold to the devil. When you see celebrities, see, that's another issue. That's what would Jesus do? When you read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see him dealing with them people. And why you think he said, forgive them for they know not what they do? Because they don't know. They didn't know. We ain't got no excuse. We don't have any excuse. We don't have those excuses. We got Bible, teachers, radio, internet. We got the word, and we got access to God. They didn't even have the Holy Spirit when he said that. We have God on the inside who knows everything God knows. There's no excuse for that at all. Amen. Okay? So, again, like I say, but pay attention, because it's critical right now. You want to be in a position where whatever comes, they keep trying to, Satan keeps trying to release new diseases. And the reason they haven't broke forth and did what COVID did is because saints are praying. And there are millions of them that do it and do it right. And again, we are at the last days. When we leave this planet, literally, all hell will break loose. I mean, you read in the book of Revelation, there's going to be creatures come up out of there and be on the earth. And you don't want to be here for that. Trust me, you don't want, because it's two things to deal about going in the tribulation period. The part where Satan gives you everything you want. See, that's the problem with that want that gimme, gimme, gimme gospel. He's going to give it to you. He's going to give it to you. I can even see where it's coming from. Because, and I expect that soon he's going to use that against the body of Christ, because that's how he got Israel into captivity. Because he knows, see, pressure will make them pray. Prosperity make them get amnesia. And I see it coming. You go back and study the Old Testament. Look at Isaiah. Ask God to walk with you with Isaiah chapter 1, and he'll explain it to you. Okay? And that's what you don't want. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's going to come. I'm seeing it right now. You know? But now, to be able to avoid all that, to be able to make this journey and complete it, because we're on the short end of this, you need to have the Holy Spirit. And you can't have the Holy Spirit without being washed in the blood of Christ, which is a simple, God made it so easy, as my pastor say, easy enough for a two-year-old to do. So even a two-year-old can do it. And you should, if you when you hear this prayer, lead your family in this prayer, because this is all it takes. And just say this prayer with me. Lord God in heaven, I believe your word. I believe you sent your son to die for our sin. And I acknowledge that I was born in sin, and I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved, I am born again, I am forgiven. I mean, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You know, that's the great part about that. Now you have the Spirit of God, and you have the promises of God. You have access to God. And you can sit down. See, that's a major point. The number one criteria for the promises of God. Now, and I'm talking about the God of the Bible. I've been hearing now a particular man of God saying that those fake gods that used to be here, Zeus and all them, getting ready to come back. And I can see that. I can see that happening. Because that's what Satan do. He's a deceiver. See, you know, he's a deceiver. I'm trying to get this going here. All right. But anyway, I hope you don't just listen to this today. Listen to it over and pray. Whenever you read the Bible, pray and ask God for revelation. You read a book about the Bible, pray and ask God for revelation. You watch a movie about God, pray and ask God for revelation. And he will show you some things. You're going to find God is a really phenomenal, loving person. And know this, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom.
Outline our affections. Trace kindness from your acceptance of Christ's sacrifice. It gave us the ability to forgive those who sin against us, who lie and accuse, they frame and abuse, yet we get to choose to overlook the offense. And when we sin, we repent. Our hope exists from the seed of your kindness. We were blinded, dumbfounded, you led us to repentance. Our hearts wicked, conflicted, you fixed it, untwisted, unbent, double knots high from sin. Your loving kindness stepped in and faith began. Turn hatred into compassion. Now we fashion the master's actions, and we have to go where he says go, speak what he says speak, following the footsteps that Jesus leads. As kindness leaks from the cross to the lost, and the cost was paid, we give it all back to the one who saves by what we say and what we do to his creation. So with patience, we ask that you clean kindness to hearts hiding in ribcage. Let us spit lyrics that rave of his existence. Press kindness beyond the surface. service to a community, but evidence of a divine unity of Father, Son, and Spirit at work behind the curtain of our lives. Let it soak in all our lives. Could you give life to those who pursue it? Let us subdue it, taste it, and chew it. As the Spirit feeds the seeds to our roots, let us trust in Him and produce His fruit. As the Spirit feeds the seeds to our roots, let us trust in Him and produce His fruit. Kindness.